Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Happy Monday, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Before we get started with today's show, I just want to take a moment and thank our sponsors, the folks over at Markham Search, who make today's show possible. The people at Markham Search offer premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States with offices in Los Angeles and New York, so please do keep them in mind for all of your recruiting and staffing needs. Today we have with us on the show Jeffrey Gitmer. Jeffrey is the New York Times bestselling author of 13 books on personal development, attitude, and sales, including The Sales Bible, The Little Gold Book of Yes, Attitude, 21.5, Unbreakable Laws of Selling, and award-winning The Little Red Book of Selling, which has sold more than 5 million copies worldwide and is cited as an essential work in the 100 best business books of all time. Widely known as the King of Sales, Gitmer is a dynamic keynote speaker for leading companies around the world whose social media footprint reaches millions. He's based in Charlotte, North Carolina, and joins us today. Thanks so much for being here, Jeffrey.
It is my doggone pleasure. thank you for setting such low expectations for this interview.
Exactly. We are expecting magic to come out of your mouth, sir.
Yes, he has been all around the world and is now in Charlotte, North Carolina. What does that tell you?
It tells you that you're a smart man because you're not paying premium prices.
Well, it's not a matter of that. It's, you know, I grew up in Philadelphia and New York. So I'm pretty much a Northeasterner by heritage. But Charlotte is a place that you can actually make an imprint and you can affect. I like to tell people that in New York City, you could kill somebody on 51st Street, move to 52nd Street, and no one would ever know. But here it's a matter of you're in a community. People actually say hello to you. And I wrote a column on selling skills and personal development every Friday for 15 years. And it appeared in the Charlotte paper and about 50 other papers, including actually the LA Business Journal.
Oh,
but,
wow.
It gave me a footprint here. It gave me an imprint in the city as a person who helps. And I haven't done it for 5 years. People still come up to me in a bagel shop or something and go, hey, I read your column. Like, okay, dude, thanks.
Yeah, thanks for keeping the business alive.
Exactly. And, you know, if you help somebody, they genuinely engage you. And I'm in the business of helping other people.
And what better business is there to be in? It's so great to be able to make a difference for one person.
And you don't have to make change. You know what I mean? The bagel is $1.57. Ah, crap, somebody gave me $2. Now I got to think, okay. it's a business that requires waking up in the morning and being the best you can be for yourself and then being the best you can be for others.
Which is priceless when you can be the highest and best version of yourself every day and be that not only by yourself, but around other people. That really is priceless.
And every once in a while you travel to other places. Like when I go to, do you know what the first thing I do when I go to Los Angeles is?
I don't know, get an air mask because of the smog here?
No, I go to the Apple Pan.
Oh, the Apple Pan, right hamburger. By the airport.
Yeah, it's the best hamburger in the world, the best apple pie in the world, and the best banana cream pie in the world. They have three bests in one restaurant.
And yet you live in a different state.
You know, it's unbelievable. I only get to go there maybe once or twice a year, but when I'm in LA, I make a beeline for that place.
Well, we'll have to invite you out for an in-studio interview one of the next times you're out here.
Please. It can't be on Monday, because I think they're closed on Monday.
Okay.
But you know what?
You
know what their slogan is?
What's that?
Quality forever.
Good slogan.
Now, come on. It doesn't
How
get
does it get
any better?
Better
than I don't. Don't you wish Chevrolet had the same thing?
I think a lot of us wish a lot of products had the same thing. So
I'm
what would
telling my
what
audiences?
What would Napoleon Hill have to say about the Apple Pan?
He would say that consistent quality will lead to success.
That does sound like
there's something
he would
about
say.
There's something about consistency that breeds success.
So talk to me a little bit. How did you come to be involved in Truthful Living, the first writings of Napoleon Hill?
I am a person who's part of my mantra is I give value first. When I was studying positive attitude and personal development, I read Think and Grow Rich more than 10 times in 1 year. Chapter every day, because I was with four or five other guys and we had to do a book report on one chapter a day, and there's only 15 chapters in the book. So we kept rereading. And finally, I attained my positive attitude in New Jersey in the 70s. And I don't know if you've ever been in New Jersey, but up yours is greeting.
And I believe it.
And fast forward 25 years when I met Don Green, who was the founder of the Napoleon Hill Foundation and also the president of it. I told him about my experiences and I asked what I was able to do for him. And he was hesitant. And I said, well, do you have a newsletter? And he said, no. I said, well, I will create your newsletter for you and send it out every week on one condition. And he said, what's that? And I said, did you never give me a dime? And I did that for 15, maybe 18 years now. And one day, a few years ago, they found the first writings of Napoleon Hill. And they called me and said, would you like to edit or annotate them? And I go, sure. And we finally have a financial arrangement. But the bottom line is it took me almost 3 years to go through this material, never change one word of Napoleon Hill's meaning or writing, and then creating annotations so that I could put in, here's what the chapter's going to be about. If I had any annotations to bring them up to date, because they're 100 years old, I would put that in the chapter in a different typeface. And then I would tell the reader how to install this into their lives, how to put this particular chapter, whatever it is, into your life. And it's 100 years old, but here's the deal. Chapter one is success is up to you. Chapter two is finish what you start. Could there be anything more timely than that? It's 100 years old and it's brand new at the same time. And so I formed this relationship with them and it's never going to go away. I mean, my name is on the cover of a book that Napoleon Hill's name is on the cover of. I mean, if you're in my business, if you're in personal development, it's like a fantasy.
Dad, he was my favorite author.
Yeah, just absolutely amazing. And all of these things, half of the book has never been published before, never been seen before. And every single person who reads the book that I encounter tells me how amazing it is. So I feel real good about it. And I'm very proud about the fact that I was able to provide insight into Napoleon Hill's first writings.
And it's funny what you just shared about the 18 years devoting to the founder of the Napoleon Hill Foundation, because I think if I recall from Napoleon Hill's main book, Think and Grow Rich, that he's so well known for from about 100 years ago, is he talks about providing something with asking for nothing in return when, you know, he was first hired to come
provide
on board.
More service. Exactly. I apologize for interrupting. By providing more service than you're paid for.
Exactly. I do remember that being a key point.
I decided to ask for nothing, which is way more than I was paid for. And you know, what do you say to the person who's responsible for your positive attitude? How do you repay them? And the answer is you can't. Only by being of service can you repay them. So I decided to be of service, and it worked.
I love that. And I think that's such a beautiful life lesson just to take into anything that you do in the business world, whether you're an employee, whether you're somebody who's providing a service as a company owner. I think that's where a lot of us miss the mark as human beings, is that we expect something before we give anything. So we have this sense of entitlement of, I'm owed this. And what I love about Napoleon's book and his teachings is he says, no, it's the opposite. You give first and you give thanks first and you pay it forward and you ask, how can I really go above and beyond? I think if I recall in the book, there was the example of the gentleman in the original book who was offered to sell something that nobody else was willing to sell and then went on to be the top salesperson in the entire world, making millions, I think it was at the time, because he was the one who was able to tackle the project that nobody else wanted to tackle.
Exactly. Fortunes are made on what other people don't want to do.
Oh my gosh, that is so true, Jeffrey. I remember when I started in the recruiting business, I was like a little wee recruiter at 22 years old, I think, or 23 when I started, and all of the good accounts were taken. So everybody had all the top tier Am Law 100 law firms, and I had like these little B, C, D, E, and F people that nobody wanted to deal with because they were tiny little firms that didn't have a lot of business. And then I wound up building the highest book of business of anybody to ever work at that company, all based on these small to mid-sized firms that nobody else had ever touched.
And that's an error in judgment by the smartest people in the world, semi-successful salespeople. The successful ones don't prejudge anybody. The semi-successful ones prejudge everybody.
So tell me a little bit about what is in this book that for those people who might be devotees of Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, which I also recommend highly, of course, going out and picking up that book, as well as Truthful mm-hmm. Living. What are some of the new things that are introduced in this new book that Napoleon Hill wrote?
Basically, Napoleon Hill used these writings as the foundation for writing Think and Grow Rich. So if you've read Think and Grow Rich, this book is going to be exceptionally insightful. He gives you rules for success. He gives you ideas and strategies that you can use that were 100 years old. Just keep that in mind. When there were very little distractions, and Napoleon Hill said, don't be distracted. Don't do things that other people will take away from your major aim, your chief aim, and your desire. Don't be thin. Well, in today's world, just think about this for just a second. Your phone dings more than it rings. And every minute of every day, somebody is telling you that your high school boyfriend got a little fat, or the weather's going to be 92, or there's traffic on the 101. There's always traffic on the 101. Let me give you the traffic report in LA for the next 20 years. The roads are full in both directions.
True story.
All the time. If you sit on the 405 going from LA down to San Diego, there's a point somewhere in Orange County where you're up on a little hill and all you can see for 10 miles is headlights and taillights. And that's how I define Los Angeles, other than the apple pan and In-N-Out Burger. Those are your two redeeming qualities.
Well, thank you for giving us those. That's very gracious of you.
No, no problem. Yeah, no problem. And maybe a couple of the shopping centers that are close by the airport.
Well, maybe. We'll give those a solid maybe.
Yeah. I'm giving it a solid maybe.
So tell me a little bit about this, because again, I just recently started re-listening to Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. I probably read it all the way through 5 or 6 times in my life, and I recently was introduced to a cool app called Blinkist. Have you heard about Blinkist? And I'm not sure if you guys are launching the book on there as well. Blinkist is brilliant.
We're launching the book through Amazon.
Oh, because I was going to say, go ahead.
It's the largest publisher in the world.
I know.
Everybody
really
wants to know what. Every publisher wants to know what Amazon's algorithm is, and Amazon laughs at them and pushes a button.
Think about it. Because Amazon is visible, and everybody can go on Amazon, and that's where everybody shops nowadays.
Yeah. So when you go, regardless of the name of the publisher, Audible or whatever, Amazon owns them, and they you know, I recorded this book. It took me a long time to record it because it wasn't my writing. And it was edited and edited very well. And you're going to see, I mean, to listen to this book is just, it's amazing. It will bring everything to clarity. But sometimes when you read it, you don't quite hear it. I had edited it, but I never read everything aloud. And after everything was done and I read everything aloud, it was unbelievable. I got total clarity on the book.
Yeah, I find it's very helpful in the same way. Everybody is a different sort of listener or learner. You have auditory learners, kinesthetic learners, visual learners. And so for some people, merely reading the page works. Other people auditorily need to hear it. And for some people, like you said, kinesthetically, if you're actually speaking the words or writing them out as you're talking about them or learning about them, it can help heighten the sense of what you're learning.
Totally. And it can do it in a way where you actually deepen your understanding if you do it two different ways, a way that you're not quite perfect at, but a way that you are perfect at.
Yeah, I love it. And so it's funny, I'll be curious to see if Blinkist in any way is affiliated with Amazon. It's something that was just brought to my attention this weekend, and in preparation for our show, I thought, gosh, I wish I had the time this weekend to go back and reread Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. And what I loved about it is they actually had a couple of his books on there, and they give you the whole book in 15 minutes. So it's kind of like annotated in a way, and you can either listen to it or read it.
Oh.
And it gives you the synopsis, but it was really wonderful because instead of trying to power through a 10-hour audio CD, which I think I have the original audio CD with Napoleon Hill's voice, you can actually just hop on, and for an annual membership, you go on there and then you get to listen to as many books as you want, Napoleon Hill or otherwise. That's why I was wondering if your new book was on there.
I don't know because I have an agent and a publisher and they basically have the rights, and I'm not in control of that once I sell my soul or sell my services. Some people look at it different ways, but it's the only way to get distribution in today's marketplace. I'm not 100% certain, but I have a feeling that Amazon would not let it out that way. That's just my feeling. Remember when you were in college? Remember when you were in college and you read the Cliff Notes?
Exactly. It's exactly like the Cliff Notes. That's what I was thinking. It's like the Cliff Notes for today's world.
But you took a test and the teacher made certain that none of the questions were from the Cliff Notes, and you failed miserably.
I don't know. I was pretty good at inferring what was in between the lines. If any of my teachers are listening, I apologize.
All my teachers had the same name in college. You bastard. That was basically how I referred to them.
That is amazing. Well, tell me. So I know I suggest Blinkist just for anybody out there whose interest might be piqued by this conversation today about truth for living.
I'm going to tell them to try it. Yeah,
it's. I mean, I found at least two of Napoleon Hill's old books on there. So tell me a little bit more about what has you be so passionate about the writings of Napoleon Hill, and had you offer your services complimentary for 18 years?
I did it because I felt a sense of obligation to repay a cosmic debt, number one, because there was no money owed. Number two, out of the sense of, hey, I'm really good at communicating. I'm a really good writer. I've sold a lot of books. I can help these people. And I can help them in a way that they're not expecting. And I did. And it worked. And, you know, I've met with them on many, many occasions. We just went to Frankfurt to the International Book Fair a few months ago. It's been a great relationship. It's not just a matter of, am I going to make a couple bucks? Yeah, I will. But that's not why I'm doing it. Why I'm doing it is because I get to have relationships with so many people all over the world who share their Napoleon Hill stories and how they got their positive attitude. And it's Fortune 500 company people. It's global presidents of companies. It's, you know, people that are in sales all over the planet. It's wonderful. And I get to interact and exchange with them and learn something from them, whether it's their personal habits or their success ideas or their sales ideas. I'm an open book when it comes to that kind of thing. And people will say, you know, I read the book right before I started my business, and I just followed the principles and I'm still successful 22 years later.
It's remarkable.
That's what I love. Yeah.
So what would you say was one of your favorite takeaways? Go ahead. What were you guys saying? from
No, I was going to just say, I have a favorite takeaway. I'm glad you asked. By the end of the book, you're sort of like dripping with, oh, man, I know half of this stuff and half of it I don't know. But there's a secret of Napoleon Hill, and so let me give that to your listeners who are potential readers. Lesson number 21 is called The 5-Point Rule. And in it, and I'm going to just quote it, he says, success may be had by those who are willing to pay the price. And the price is eternal vigilance in the development of self-confidence, enthusiasm, working with a chief aim, performing more service than you're paid for, and concentration. With these qualities well developed, you'll be sure to succeed. And let's name these elements the 5-point rule. So what Hill is saying here is, it's not one of these, it's all five of these combined that creates the power. If you only have enthusiasm and you don't have a chief aim, you're going no place. You're going to be a happy guy that walks into trees. if you have a service heart, but you don't have any enthusiasm, no one's going to get it. So all of these things combined, and the glue, by the way, is the word concentration, which is later to become its own book in 1945 called The Magic Key, which is simply concentration. How do you focus on, today's word is mindset, same thing. But Napoleon Hill said, look, do these five things together and you're going to rock. You're going to succeed. You're going to win. You'll have the confidence to do it and you're going to be happy at it. Think about that. Self-confidence, enthusiasm, working with the chief aim, performing more service than you're paid for, and concentration. What could be easier to understand but difficult to follow if you only try to do 3 out of 5?
Well, it's funny because going to your earliest point about it being as relevant 100 years ago as it is now, would you say that we're still capable as a society of being able to hit all five of those points, given the amount of distractions that we experience in today's day and age?
And the answer is mostly no. And that's why most people will be mediocre. Most people I have a quote that people are not willing to do the hard work that it takes to make success easy. Doing all these things are hard. But as a result, success comes easy. And if you look at it from a standpoint of doing what's best for you first, and then what's best for other people, you're going to win. If you look at it as, I'm a sacrificial lamb, my company drains me, they take everything. I've given them the best years of my life. Like, dude, what are you doing that for? They're the best years. Keep a couple for yourself. And people don't understand. Well, you don't understand. I got bills. No, I have bills. I've just chosen another way to pay for them. Well, you don't understand, Jeffrey. I have kids. I got kids. Everybody has kids. I don't know whether you do or not, but, you know, kids are the motivator. You know, Daddy, I want a new bike. Get two of them. That's what you want to say. No, well, how much is the bike? What's it going to do? Why do you need the bike now? You have a bike already. I just bought you one 5 years ago. No. Get two of them.
I think it goes back to, it's all about perspective, A, I think, is that's something beautiful that Napoleon Hill highlights, I'm sure, in his current writings as well as in his prior writings, is it's about perspective, and it's about coming from a perspective specifically of, is there enough or is there not enough? And if we go out in the world and we see that there is enough, then our needs will always be met. Or if we go in the world and you say, oh, there's not enough. Oh, I don't have the money for that extra bike. Either which way, we're designed as human beings to prove ourselves right. And the same is true of looking for the bad or the good. One of my greatest teachers once told me, if you see a thing as good, it becomes good. If you see a thing as bad, it becomes bad. So what's the harm in seeing the good in whether it's a person or a job or a potential opportunity, and we're going to prove ourselves right every time.
There's good in everything. You have to dig. You walk into a barn of horse manure, there's a pony around there someplace.
So, was it Napoleon Hill's book that helped inspire you to begin writing years ago, or did something else, was something else a precursor to that?
I was a good writer in college. It was the only thing besides archery that I got an A in. And my teacher was pretty cool, and I would hand write my essays and all the assignments that I had, and everybody else would type them and put a cover on them and get a D, and I got an A. I actually would get A minus because he would chide me for not rewriting it. I would write stuff and edit it by scratching out and putting arrows in. I didn't feel like rewriting it. And he basically told me that I was a really good writer, a very succinct writer. And I just kept with that skill, and I wrote a lot of business plans for people when I did consulting. I wrote a lot of sales plans. I wrote a lot of marketing plans, and I just became fluent at it. If you buy my book, The Little Green Book of Getting Your Way, it will teach you how I write. Also teach you how I speak, but how I write, I think, is more important. And I wake up in the morning and I write every day, and I've been doing that for 25 years, and so far it's working.
And that's the
And
thing
most
too, is
people
I
get up
think
in the
creating a
morning.
habit.
You're right. Most people get up in the morning and they turn on some kind of television show or some kind of silly thing that's not going to help them at all. And I recommend that they wake up in the morning and devote the first hour of themselves to them. It's the you hour. Take it. Read, write, prepare, think, create. Do those five things, you're going to win. Read, write, prepare, think, create.
I love that. So that's brilliant. So read, write, prepare, think, create. I think those are good little things just to remember every
Yeah.
day because we all have creativity within us and it's about seeing the world in a different way. In fact, it was funny the other day in Napoleon Hill's first book, I think you may remember, he talks about gathering kind of a board of people. You know, he discusses the board of people, Abraham Lincoln for developing fairness and so on and so forth. And I thought, wow, you know, that would be something interesting. I remember reading about this years ago, but I had never actually applied that myself in the real world. And so the other day I did that while I was just doing this creative act of imagination. And I invited Steve Jobs to the table. And I thought, gosh, you know, what's Steve going to have to say? And I was kind of expecting him to be a jerk. You know, you have in your imagination how you think somebody's going to be. And Steve Jobs just said, you know, you need to spend more time outside walking and just being in nature and actually seeing the things and seeing the space in between and the things that other people don't see, because that's what allows you to innovate, is to see things in a way that nobody else has ever seen them before. And that's what creates a visionary.
And Napoleon Hill said it 100 years ago, the power of observation, the power of paying attention. And I travel the world and I'll exit a plane and I will watch people walk into a wall texting or reading their phone and think nothing of it. Oh, crap, I just walked into a wall, and just keep on their way. And that's the issue today. I'm not going to be Johnny Appleseed and go around and try to tell people not to, you know, dedicate themselves to texting and phoning, but to pay attention. I can tell you, my 9-year-old daughter has an iPhone 10. We travel to Paris, and I tell her, you can play with your phone at night, but not during the day. During the day, you're going to look at Paris. Except when we go to a museum, an art museum, I give her phone and say, take a picture of the paintings that inspire you. Think about that. Most of the time, you go, I don't really want to go to the museum day because it's kind of boring. No. I give her an assignment. And when she gets there, she's paying attention to what's around her to see what she likes. So at 9, she's developing a taste for art through her phone.
I love that. That's brilliant the way that you integrated it. And again, you were able to create a shift in perspective, something that at one moment occurred as drudgery and frustrating and, oh, daddy, how could you? And punishment to, oh my gosh, wow, this is something cool. And I remember somebody once told me the same thing when I was learning about photography. He said, if you look at what are the photographs that you love, what is it? Is there a certain style? And I started to realize that I love photographs. You know, if you're on Insta all day long or on Facebook or whatever it is, so often we're just kind of arbitrarily liking, liking, liking. But if you start to actually pay attention to, What is it you like about that photo? Is it the asymmetry? Is it the colors? And then you start to begin to realize the way you think, and then you begin to elevate your consciousness and awareness as you go through the process in the same way that you're teaching your daughter to do that.
I'm going to, speaking of Instagram, I'm going to challenge your audience. My name is my Instagram, Jeffrey Gittimer, at Jeffrey Gittimer. Follow me, because I'm going to redo how stories are posted. Brand new strategy that I created that nobody else uses, and I'm going to launch it next week.
Ooh, that's exciting. And I'll have to follow you on Insta as well.
Please do. And give me a note. You have my cell phone. Just text me and say, I'm on, and, I'll be very grateful. But it's going to be so much fun to do this project. I've got two or three people from my staff engaged and involved, and we're brainstorming on it every day. It's going to be cool.
Yeah, and like you said, it all begins with a new perspective and awareness and starting to see things and to think about the way we think. We often just think, and we don't think about where the thinking comes from or why we have these thoughts, or are they automatic, or are they thoughts that we're choosing? And that's the power of Napoleon Hill's work, is that he gets you to think in a new way.
Chapter 3 in Truthful Living, How to Think.
Love that. See, I'm a plant.
it's uncanny how relevant a 100-year-old piece of writing can be. Uncanny. My whole staff read the book, and my youngest staff member, 25-year-old, on the bottom edge of millennials, came up to me and said, you know, I do about half of these things, but the other half I really need to work on. So I've made my own notes from this, and I'm going to work at it every day. Cool. That's what I'm hoping for.
And that's brilliant. I think just to tie it all back in, doing those 5-point rule, I'll be sure to include that in the synopsis of the show, because those are things that if you just even have a little post-it up on your desk or a note on your iPhone, or maybe even set a meme as your Instagram,
yep.
Or not your Insta, but your phone screensaver, that just might be something great to remind yourself and go, huh, okay, how many of these boxes did I check today? And then you begin to push yourself a little bit more every day to check all 5 of the boxes, and then you begin to be on your way to success and greatness.
Use your technology to help you succeed. Don't use it to see what you like. Use it to see what you can learn.
Brilliant. Well, tell me, Jeffrey, were there any other points about the book that we didn't get a chance to cover today, or any tidbits that you'd love to leave our listeners with today?
I would, when you buy the book, you're going to find things in there that you hadn't thought about before, because that's the way Hill was. For example, he didn't call it the law of attraction. He called it the law of harmonious attraction, where he said, try to attract people that are kind of like you, that you're in harmony with. Because when you find those people, the power of 4 or 5 of them is way better than the power that you can create by yourself. Your power becomes exponential when there's other people that you can converse with and affirm your ideas or confirm your ideas or expand on your ideas. And that's basically what was happening 100 years ago when Henry Ford was hanging around with Thomas Edison and Henry Firestone and John Burroughs, and they would meet and shoot the breeze. Think about that mastermind. I think that there's a heck of a lot more that every person who listens to your show can do by picking the 5 most powerful people in your group and hang out with them. Have a monthly meeting, have hot dogs, or if you're a vegan, have a
tofurkey.
Right. But I think that whenever I hear vegan, I always think of the Monty Python spam thing. You know, spam makes bacon, and spam doesn't have much spam in it. Anyway, but surround yourself with people that can help you and harmoniously attract them. Don't look for something that you can't achieve. Look for something that you can achieve and then work hard for it. And that's the whole philosophy of Napoleon Hill. He tells you to create that aim, that dream, that goal, that plan, and work on it till you get it, and then go to the next one. Now, one more thing, and I'm going to go. A lot of your listeners are young. And in today's world, they have a thing called the side hustle. That's the biggest distraction of your life.
Mm.
You come home from work and you automatically start to do something else. Like, seriously? No, dude, focus on what you're great at and become greater. If you need a side hustle, it's because you don't like the one you got. So quit that one and go someplace else. Do what you love. Because if you don't, you will never achieve the heights that you're hoping for.
Great advice. It's so true, because I Uber everywhere. I don't drive. And you talk to so many people who are just trying to make ends meet, or they're doing it on top of two or three other jobs that they're doing. And I get it. There's the Band-Aid job. In the recruiting world, we call it the Band-Aid job, where you take a job to stop the bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. Sometimes we have to do that to provide for families or to pay the bills. But at the end of the day, people get stuck in the rut of the Band-Aid job becomes a long-term job. And then they're there 10, 20 years doing something that doesn't fulfill them or bring them passion or joy. And you just at some point have to take the Band-Aid off and just really give yourself 150% attention towards doing what you love, and you will be successful at it, just like Napoleon Hill says.
And if you're in an Uber, then you don't have to concentrate on driving. And instead of worrying about your problems while you're behind the wheel, you can actually begin to resolve them on your laptop or your iPad or your phone while you're on your way to your next gig.
Exactly.
Think about it. Are you thinking about your problems, or are you doing something about them for an extra $10 or $15? And LA has to be the Uber capital of the world.
I think it has, though. I have taken Ubers in almost every country I've been to. So far, most places have it. And it is great, because you can just always be productive. And if you look at a time versus money thing, say it might cost you a $5 or $6 Uber to get from point A to point B. Well, what if that's time you could have spent coming up with your next brilliant idea?
Exactly.
Or heck, walk it if it's less than a mile. I'm a huge advocate. If it's less than a mile, walk it and use that time to reflect and spend time in nature and see if you can get inspired by something.
Do you know your rating?
My Uber rating, you know, it's so funny you bring that up. At one point, I think I was like at a 4.92, and I was so proud of myself because I Uber everywhere. And then I dropped down somewhere in the midst to like a 4.88. And I'm like, it's kind of like that Black Mirror episode where you're like, wow, was I a jerk to somebody? What happened?
Exactly. I'll tell you what happened. You didn't give them a 5-star review while you were driving. And
that could be
if
it.
If you take UberX or UberXL, they live on those tips because the fee that Uber pays them is a pittance. But you can scroll up and say, rate my trip. So far, how's it going so far? You can give them 5 stars and give them a few bucks. And when you leave the car, they got to give you 5. And you tell them, I'm giving you 5 stars and the tip. It's already done.
That's good advice. I do believe it. And I do try to make a difference with the Uber drivers when I'm not in the midst of work stuff, of trying to see how I can contribute or offer them business advice if it makes a difference. So it's great to always look at, like you said at the very beginning, how can we always pay it forward? So Jeffrey, remind our listeners.
That's my advice.
Go right ahead.
You can go to my website if you want more, that kind of thing.
Exactly. I was just going to suggest that you tell people where to find your book, where to find your website, and anything else in case they wanted to look you up.
Amazon.com, and type in Jeffrey Gittimer and you'll get everything. And go to my website, which is my last name, Gittimer.com. But go to my Insta at Jeffrey Gittimer. I'm online for everything. I tweet at Gittimer. I'm LinkedIn, Jeffrey Gittimer. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer most places, like Facebook and LinkedIn, but on Twitter, I'm only at Gittimer. But I'm going to focus on Instagram. Go there and follow me, at Jeffrey Gittimer, all one word. And you'll see my kids, you'll see my life. You know, I'm a frustrated Parisian who can only speak 200 words of French, but no verbs. And it becomes increasingly more difficult to get around, although now almost everybody speaks English. And I'm having a good time at it. I would challenge you that I am a product of personal development. I'm a product of reading. I'm a product of self-study and positive attitude. And I didn't start out that way. I started out in New Jersey. Nothing's positive in New Jersey.
Well, good things can come from anywhere.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. I mean, it took the Eagles 60 years to win a Super Bowl. Come on. So we're in a time right now where you're being challenged. You know, the country's semi-divided. I've never seen a more political division thing happen in the country, but the economy's booming. Take advantage of it. Don't whine about it.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Jeffrey. I love getting to rehash a lot of some of my favorite things from Napoleon Hill, and definitely recommend that everybody checks out the book, Truthful Living, The First Writings of Napoleon Hill. If you missed any portion of today's show and you want to go back and hear perhaps the five-point rule again, you can go to iTunes, and either under the podcast section or just in the normal iTunes, you can type in Get Yourself the Job and find this or any other prior episodes on there. Or you can also find this episode available immediately for download following the show on latalkradio.com on the Get Yourself the Job page at the bottom in the archive section. We invite you to rate us, leave us any feedback on iTunes. You can also find us on Facebook under Get Yourself the Job. And thank you so much to everybody who tuned in today and to Jeffrey for sharing with us all the wisdom from Napoleon Hill, which is still relevant 100 years later.
It is my darn pleasure, and I would look forward to doing it anytime. In fact, when we go to the Apple Fan, we can fight over the check and I will win.
Sounds like a good plan. We have a date at the Apple Fan later this year.
You got it. I'll talk to you soon. Right. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Absolutely. Wishing everybody a wonderful rest of your week out there.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.